The coming new year will mark the end of an improbable six-year state Senate career for Long Island Democrat John Brooks, so we wanted to mark the conversation with an exit interview before he officially says goodbye to Albany. Welcome back to the show, Senator.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
So I want to rewind back to the start of this journey, and you entered the state Senate in 2017 after winning a race for state Senate against a then freshman Republican who represented a purple district on Long Island, but one that had been in GOP hands for a while, and we'll get to how you won in a second. But what made you run in the first place at the ripe old age of 66 years old?
A request was made to me. Mm-hmm. I was asked to come to a meeting, which I assumed was to explain to whoever the candidate was going to be on some work I'd done on both school funding and also on property tax assessment. I was at the meeting for probably an hour discussing things, and then I said, could you tell me why I'm here? So then I was told, no, we want to talk about running for the Senate. I said, what? And I had just retired, and we had a discussion, and then I took several days to decide whether we were going to make the race or not.
Well, at the time, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe you were a registered Republican.
Yeah.
So, one, why did they want you to run as a Democrat? And two, why was it appealing to you to run as a Democrat?
I had worked in government for a while in Tom Suozzi's administration. I set up a risk management program.
And he was the county executive for Nassau County, a Democrat.
Then I went out to work in Brookhaven. Initially, Mark Lesko was the supervisor. Mm-hmm. And then Mark took another job, and I ended up working for the Republican supervisor, who's still there, actually.
Okay.
I was a Republican for a long time as a committeeman, but I've always had a very independent streak, too. You know, for me, my life has been a lot of public service. I'm a volunteer fireman now for 50-something years. I was on the school board and the rest. And I think our responsibility as citizens is to serve our community. And for me, the community is important because my family's been in Seaford since the 1600s. You know, I looked at it as public service, not so much political. Even in the Senate here, I don't see myself as an elected official, but as a public servant.
What were your expectations at the time? Because if I remember correctly, it wasn't like the Democratic Senate Campaign Committee was flush with cash, so it's not like they were going to be carpet bombing Long Island with mailers and TV ads, and I don't think you're independently wealthy as a public servant, so it's not like you could sink a lot of money into this. So did you feel like you were there just to keep the freshman Republican Michael Venditto honest and to have a Democratic presence? Were you eyeing some sort of long shot? What were your expectations?
Well, first, for Michael Venditto, Mike's father and I were friends growing up, and we worked together in a supermarket a while ago.
And John Venditto was a Republican official at the time.
And John and I were friends, mm-hmm. and knew one another. So it was a strange feeling, and I know the first time I met Mike, we talked about stuff, and I said, no, I know your dad. I worked with your aunt and your grandfather, and I think Mike may have never met his grandfather. He says, you know my grandfather? I says, yeah. So it was different, but I'd done a great deal of work in terms of the assessment process in Nassau County, mm-hmm. in particular with the problems that we still have there. And then I did a lot with school funding from the school board. So the issues for me were easy. Those were the two issues I ran on, and I have, you know, I had four goals when I got up here. The one I didn't accomplish is reforming the way we fund public education, and we have to do that, particularly in Long Island, which does not get a fair share of state aid. But going to the doors was getting a big response, mm-hmm. with everything else. It was good, and John had a cloud hanging over him, which I knew was out there.
Before there ended up being criminal charges in the days leading up to the election, there was a cloud?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there was talk about something. I mean, the day John got arrested, my phone at home rang at 5 in the morning, and somebody said, turn on your TV. And they were taking John out to be arrested. So that was there. And that certainly had an influence. But hitting the doors early, I was getting a very, very good response with the school funding and the ideas that we had. And, you know, Jay Jacobs had had Mike Chinaris do a survey when the news broke, and surprisingly, I was already ahead of him. We had a shot at something. It was a tight race, obviously.
Yeah, to say the least. Yeah, I think you won by a few dozen votes at the end
of
the day, right?
When it was done, I think it was about 300, but election night, we were up by a whopping 13 votes.
Well, for listeners just joining us, you're listening to the Capitol Press Room, and we're speaking with State Senator John Brooks, a Long Island Democrat whose six-year career in the state Senate is coming to an end at the end of 2022. And when you first joined the state Senate, you were a member of the minority, like we said, despite the numerical advantage Democrats enjoyed. So how markedly different were your 2 years in the minority versus your 4 years in the majority? What stands out to you from those experiences?
Well, first, the minority is there's just nothing that you can get accomplished to speak of. And then as a freshman in the minority,
you're way back in the back of the line.
There isn't the line. You can't see the line. We're in a situation now, and when we got to the majority, pushing the tax plan that I have became extremely important. When I was on the school board, Seaford has no commercial property tax base. We get very little state aid. And percentage-wise, we were paying about 70% of the cost of education by property taxes. And 10% were commercial property tax base, and 20% was state aid. So that's all we were getting.
Well, yeah, so sticking with the idea of taxes, when you first ran for office, you were pushing for the so-called tax swap where property taxes would be lowered and state income taxes would be increased. You wanted to see the base for school aid increased to reflect the regional cost of living, mm-hmm. and let the state pay a higher percentage of public school costs. So like in a community of Seaford, the local community is not responsible for 70% of the bill. They're responsible for a smaller percentage. Based on your experience now in Albany, is it possible to move something like that through the legislative process? Does it have to be part of a big three-way budget agreement, considering what a seismic shift that would represent to the state and local governments?
It's absolutely what should be done. Mm-hmm. We should be capping property taxes at 50% of total school district funding.
But is there a conversation about this in Albany?
Well, you and I
are talking about it, but are other people?
I learned the other day that in July, one of the school districts on Long Island passed a resolution that we should switch to the plan that I have. Mm-hmm. You know, you think about stuff, you don't realize how many different ways we pick somebody's pocket, right? We don't recognize those communities that don't have a commercial property tax base. We have to change what we're doing.
Well, do you feel like that argument, that concern is falling on deaf ears in the legislature because of where, say, the power base for the Democratic majorities in both houses?
The Democratic majority was looking at some communities that would benefit and didn't want to do it because some wealthy areas benefited. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? In every community, there's rich and there's poor. We had a discussion one time in the conference. We had a discussion about a person made, Long Island's rich. And I said, yeah, Long Island's rich. It happened to be the day we used to get a report on the poverty level. And I had looked at the report. And I looked at Nassau County, because we're rich, right? And I looked at the number of people that were living at or below the poverty level. And then I looked at the population of some of the counties. The number of people in Nassau County that were living at or below the poverty level was greater than the population of 38 counties in this state. You know, we look at a situation and there are people who are wealthy. There are people that can't put food on the table. They're in the same school districts. The high property tax that the person that can't put is the food on his table, they can't maintain that. They can't keep a house. Most school districts on Long Island would see a 20 to 30% reduction in property taxes. For the whole state, the cost of this program is just $1.4 billion, and everybody would be at 50%. And there's some exclusions in there for high-wealth districts, but oversimplified. If we go across the state and we cap the maximum property taxes at 50%. It puts a ceiling for everybody. Some communities get 70, 80, 90% of their taxes paid by state aid. That's fine. They don't lose anything. The plan that I have, we don't take any money away from anybody that has it, and we change the way we fund it, and it's based on somebody's ability to pay. In the last year plus, we have that money around available.
Well, let's talk about the 2022 elections and your own race. You initially, when the final maps came out from the special master, announced you were not going to run, and then shortly thereafter announced you would run. What prompted the change there?
So we looked at the change, and it was about an 80% change in the district. So I wasn't running for re-election. I was running for election.
Okay, that's a good point.
My issues that I had with the local things, the fact that there was no commercial property tax base, the new area had a large commercial property tax base. My issues were associated with helping minority communities, which we did a great deal. Wyandanch, Wheatley Heights, Roosevelt, all those communities, we did a great deal. They weren't in the district anymore. And the other thing is, as the South Shore, I worked a lot on issues associated with hurricanes and the rest. I've done a lot of work in that area. I chair the Veterans Committee, which includes Homeland Security. This coming year, we're going to do a lot of work in that area. That's gone. So on Monday, I told everybody I wasn't going to run. On Tuesday, there were shots fired in Texas. On Tuesday night, my phone was ringing off the hip from people whose kids were killed in some of the shootings, some of the people that led the movement on the guns, begging me to stay. I had visitations throughout the week with people trying to get me to come back into the race because of the work that I did. And I went back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. One of the moms whose son was killed in Florida literally begged me to come back. I did it for that reason. Unfortunately, we were in a situation where we didn't have funding for the race. The race became a smear campaign of issues associated with the bail reform and altered facial pictures of myself. It was ridiculous. My opponent was making 4 and 5 mailings a week with that nonsense. We didn't have the ability to respond at all because we didn't have the funds. And I think we ended up in a situation where Long Island disproportionately was underfunded in the race. The message sent to the people on Long Island is Democrats don't care about Long Island.
The message sent from who?
From Mike Gennaris and how he managed the campaign.
And Senator Mike Gennaris is head of the Democratic Senate Campaign Committee.
Yeah, yeah.
So did he recruit you in any way to try to get you to run again in 2022? Was he one of the phone calls that you got?
No. This came from people. But you have to admit that the redistricting was a disaster.
For Democrats? Oh, yeah. It definitely did not go as they hoped for.
Yeah, we had the ability to control all of that. You have an area that both counties are Democratic, and we lost 7 out of 9 races because we just pulled out.
And after a quick break, we'll continue our conversation with outgoing state Senator John Brooks, a Long Island Democrat.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals in education, human services, and health care.
For listeners just joining us, we're continuing our discussion on the Capitol Press Room with State Senator John Brooks, a Long Island Democrat whose improbable 6-year career at the state capitol is coming to an end as a result of an election loss in November. Was having Governor Hochul on the top of the ticket a drag as well? She obviously didn't perform very well on either county.
I think she was victim of the campaign that was put up on the bail reform. Mm-hmm. And you would think that the Long Island delegation was the ones pushing for the bail reform. We were pushing for the corrections to the bail reform. The governor became part of the message that was going out. The governor has done an excellent job. When she moved in here, she took over under the difficult circumstances. And I think she's done a magnificent job. I think she recognized on the bail reform in particular that changes had to be made. But there was a drumbeat on Long Island now, and I will tell you, in my community on a Sunday morning there was a huge rally. It was a combination of a Trump and gun rights and the rest. There was a false narrative out there. And the fact that the candidates from Long Island, the senatorial candidates, had no money to respond to anything. There was no message from the party to say, this is not what's going on. And basically, none of us lost. We forfeited. There was 1 week, there were 5 mailings that came. We had enough money to send a mailing or two to about 30,000 people. 350,000
people. It's a fraction of the electorate.
You can't do anything.
Well, let's rewind back to your time in the Senate and thinking about your career, and particularly the 4 years in the majority. What stands out to you as the thing that you're going to be most proud of? Is there any one legislative issue, one funding item you secured in the budget that, as you look back on your time, you're going to be particularly proud of, as that being your stamp?
Well, I was talking to one of the papers the other day. I had 4 goals once we got to the majority. I wanted to change the school funding. I wanted to get the ambulance bill recovery program passed for the fire service.
And what's that?
That allows the volunteer fire departments to recover the costs provided for medical services, collecting on the insurance.
Because there's a different standards based on if you have the in-house EMTs and whatnot, and that got done.
Yes, that got done. Another was to elevate the Veterans Department to a full department, Veterans Agency.
And they got overhauled, yep.
And it got done. Another was to put the science building at SUNY Farmingdale, and that was announced this week. So out of the things that I wanted to get accomplished, 3 out of 4 got done. You know, on the school funding piece, I think the most important, we didn't get done. But I don't think it's been given a fair hearing. As I look at where we are now, because of the redistricting process and how poorly Long Island performed as a result of that, what happens to Long Island in the next decade?
Because Long Island now has 7 Republicans, they're 7. All in the minority. And
the Democrats have a supermajority, but we only have 2 seats there. And that's a concern with the business leaders on Long Island.
Do you think the Senate will ignore Long Island now?
I don't know. I mean, they did it in an election. They walked away from Long Island in an election. You know, one of the golden rules of politics, I believe, is you're supposed to protect the people that you have and then try to get new. We didn't do that. We walked away from the people that we had.
Do you understand that from a rationing of resources perspective? It might be easier to win a new district in New York City than defend an existing one on Long Island?
Well, you could use that logic, but don't be the person that screwed up the redistricting process so why the problem is there. Mike screwed up the redistricting process. It hurt Long Island, one of the most important economic regions in this state. It impacted the Congress, the congressional seats that we should have won, we lost. The impact was incredible, all because you didn't let a group do a second map they were entitled to do.
I feel like Gennaris is not going to be on your Christmas card list this year.
He's not going to be on my Christmas card list. I think... to sit there and say, we did good, we maintained a supermajority, and realize you walked away from a whole region of this state. To understand the fact now that business leaders, educators, companies are wondering what that means to Long Island. It was wrong.
thinking about the process of actually governing in Albany, what reforms do you think need to be implemented, either in terms of how Albany is run or campaigns are run? Does anything come to mind?
A couple of things. I believe that the state Senate and state assembly should be four-year positions. There's way too much money being spent in these campaigns. It should be four-year positions. And I would favor term limits. I see the argument for people with great experience here, and I think there's benefit to that argument. I also think they sometimes have set premises on certain things, like Long Island is rich, therefore they'll
get stuck in their ways.
Stuck in their ways. We have to take the dark money out of these campaigns. Redistricting should be based on communities that have similar issues and in close proximity. We shouldn't even look at the enrollment in those things.
You don't think the special master did a good job coming up with districts that represent communities of interest?
No, not even close.
Okay.
When you look at my district, if I went to Hicksville and I talked to somebody about storm surge, they wouldn't have any idea what you're talking about. That's the flooding that's mm-hmm. going to come from these hurricanes, which is a big problem there. They're in the middle of the island. If I talked about the lack of commercial property, they got malls all over the place. No, there was no relationship in that district from one area to the other. The minority communities, we were getting money into them. We got a monitor into one of those districts. They were related. What's been done is they looked at communities based on party enrollment and cut the cake to do certain things. And then when you have somebody in the state of Pennsylvania drawing a map and doesn't understand that on that map was something called the Atlantic Ocean, and you have communities that are greatly impacted by the fact from a flooding standpoint, from a hurricane standpoint, from a sea rise standpoint, and not have them in a similar district. No, I don't think they did a good job at all. I know we have to redo the assembly lines. I think we should be redoing the Senate lines as well, and it should be done by an independent group, and nobody should have the enrollment information. Look at the communities and let it work out the way it works out.
Well, finally, come January, you will no longer be a state senator. You'll be 73 years old. What do you want to do at that point? Is it about setting off into the sunset and retire and enjoy the rest of your life without these pressures from public service? Or do you see yourself getting involved in other government work in the future?
In the last few weeks, I've had more people call me to say you cannot walk away. You have to stay involved. And I'm looking at that.
Well, so then what does that mean for you? What do you envision yourself doing in response to these conditions?
I'm not sure yet. I'm listening to people right now.
So does that mean you're going to run for office again?
I don't know what I'm going to do.
You're not ruling that out?
I'm not ruling anything out right now. We're talking to people. I'm writing notes on stuff I want to complain about, and maybe I'll write something. And we'll see where we go.
Well, we've been speaking with State Senator John Brooks. He is a Long Island Democrat. Senator, thank you so much for making the time, and I loved having you on as a guest for all these years.
Good to be with you.
Support for Capital Press Room provided by the William G. Pomeroy Foundation. Communities across the Empire State have stories to tell. A roadside marker funded by the William G. Pomeroy Foundation can help your town or city educate the public, encourage pride of place, and promote local tourism. More about the Pomeroy Foundation's New York State Historic Marker Grant Program for 501c3 organizations, nonprofit academic institutions, and local, state, and federal government entities at wgpfoundation.org.